Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Scherzo cuts back, fires the shot, and it's in! It falls to Ely on the volley! Cross him to Namath, and he touches it in!
Presented by 360 Vodka. Raise a glass to spring at the Holiday Distillery, where you'll learn the incredible story of Casey's oldest business and experience real Missouri bourbon being made. Tours are only $10 and include tasting to those 21 and up. Book now at holidaydistillery.com.
Now your host, Nate Buchady.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show, right here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Of course, we love our podcast listeners as well. You can go to a10whb.com and click on the podcast page there. Of course, we always recommend that you have the 810 WHB app on your phone. You can listen to any podcast there as well. Also, iTunes and Spotify and all the places you get your wonderful podcasts as well. I am Nate Buchady, joined as always by the one and only El Jefe Carter Augustine. Carter, what's going on, man?
What's up, Nate? Doing well. Big Champions League result today.
You have a big smile on your face
for Liverpool.
Yeah. We're doing this on a Tuesday, and there was quite a result there that we'll get to. We also have a special guest who's going to join us on the show today: manager youth programs at Sporting KC and sometimes teammate on my over 30 league team on Friday nights when he doesn't no-show on us. Not that I'm still upset about the 4-2 loss that we took on Friday to Paulo Nagamura's team. Maybe could have used a rangy midfielder in that game, Carter. But you get the cancellation call 30 minutes before the game. It's hard to find a replacement.
So. I should have waited a week for it. Come on.
Not that I'm angry, Brendan Williams. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, at least you're getting the invites, Brendan.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's I thought about flaking on you like 30 minutes before, saying, "Hey, never mind, we don't need you. Don't need you on the show today." We got a lot to talk about with Brendan. There's a really, really special opportunity for soccer fans and for sporting fans coming up, and I mean the grown-up kind of fan that wants to be a kid and be a professional soccer player for a few days as well. Also, there's all kinds of camps coming up for the youth as well.
Yep.
I have fun in the summertime. I lend my services to Brendan and help coach some of the youth camps, and I try not to poison the minds of the youth too much. But the kids, they're really fun. The youth camps are fun, so we can talk about those as well. But there's a grown-up one coming up for the first time ever that Sporting KC will have. We'll talk about that more later with Brendan in a little bit. But we have a lot to get to on the show today. We are going to talk with Brendan about those camps and about the adult fantasy camp that's coming up here later this summer. We're going to talk with Graham Smith, central defender for Sporting KC, who got the nod against Atlanta United. He's been captaining the Swope Park Rangers for most of the year, but look, with all the situations going on with Sporting KC, he's been called into duty. And I don't know about you guys, Carter, I thought Graham played a pretty representative game. I know the score line is what it is, but I don't remember many big mistakes from Graham through the course of the game. I thought he showed himself pretty well on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Obviously called into some emergency duty there, but I think he could have maybe used some help from the guys a little further forward because for Sporting was under pressure for a lot of the game. And I think that's a pretty fair assessment of Graham stepping in and playing pretty well despite the 3-0 result.
Yeah, the midfield battle was tough for Sporting KC in that one on Sunday. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the 3-0 loss to Atlanta. Rough run of form for Sporting KC right now and just a lack of bodies. 16 guys dressed for the game. But we can also get into whether or not all these problems are just down to injuries or if there's more to look at for Sporting. In that regard, we'll talk with Graham and we'll talk with Brendan. Brendan's going to sit in with us and talk a little shop as well. But I kind of want to talk about this Champions League stuff, man. I had a seminar to attend today. The Kansas Association of Broadcasters were at Children's Mercy Park today, nice. Had a big conference, and they brought Brian Bliss and Matt Beisler to address all of these members of the Kansas Association of Broadcasters. We had a great time. Thanks to the KAB for using our facility and enjoying the whole thing. It was awesome. But it took place at 2 o'clock, and it ended at 4. So I missed the entire Liverpool-Barcelona game, and as soon as the game was over, one of the young broadcasters walked up to me and Beisler and showed us his phone and said, "You won't believe this. Liverpool 4, Barcelona 0. They reversed the 3-0 scoreline from last week. Carter, you are a pretty big Liverpool fan?
Yeah, you could say that, yeah.
How long have you been a Liverpool fan?
04, 05, in that range when I first discovered Steven Gerrard.
Stevie G is your guy.
Yep.
So. This result, best in your life as a Liverpool fan? Like how? I don't know. Is that overstating it? I know it's just a semi, but how would you, where would you put this one?
I mean, it's got to be up there for sure. Pretty incredible. 50-1, I think, was the odds of a 4-0. If you had a 50-1 betting slip, which maybe not advocating just yet, but
someday,
if you're in Vegas or
if you're
Jersey
over in Liverpool,
or over in Liverpool, you could have come away with some pretty good cash.
50-1.
Yeah, to win 4-0. So, I mean, just an incredible game. You did put the seminar on my radar last week, saying, "Hey, this is a broadcasting thing. You could maybe pop by." And I wish I could. I was really interested, but then you said it's at 2 o'clock. It's like, I don't know.
I was like, look, they have this roundtable thing. They want to hear from seasoned broadcasters, and you know, you're the voice of the Rangers, sideline reporter for Sporting KC. And he was like, yeah, I got something going on.
Yeah. But then, unfortunately, our boss at Sporting, my boss Aaron, scheduled a big all department meeting at 2 o'clock. So I actually didn't get to see most of the first half.
Inconsiderate, Aaron.
Unbelievable.
Inconsiderate.
Yeah, I was just saying some choice things behind his back.
You didn't try to stream it under the table, like, you know, with your phone down there, did you?
I was trying to.
Nobody can prove it if you did.
And then, you know, of course, it was one of those meetings where people kept making jokes after every topic, so each topic was stretched out 5 minutes longer than it needed to go.
That's kind of me.
Can we move this thing along? What's the next agenda item here? Let's go.
None of the jokes were funny, for the record.
You could hear the stampede of people sprinting out of the conference room when it ended.
Were you
to get
in
to
there too?
I wasn't, but I heard.
Yeah. Were you able to watch much of this? You're
in
the office too.
Yeah, actually, I hope my boss isn't listening because I didn't get much work done this afternoon. I couldn't take my eyes off the TV. I don't think anybody did in the office. It was a really fun game to watch.
I mean, let's be honest. This is the beauty of working for a soccer team.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody wants to see a game like that.
Well, yeah, you should, and you should have it on as a soccer team, and that's part of one of the perks.
It's the culture.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes they'll have baseball on in the office, and I get a little furious and change it to a Bundesliga 2 game.
Right.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, this is what we're doing. So.
This is a replay of a game from the Honduran League that's on.
Yeah, let's get that on over the Royals, please. What an incredible game. Got a chance to watch it with Patty, one of the PR guys, Patty Bergabo. And
shout out Bergabo. He's the more on the more obnoxious end of the Liverpool fan than you are. He likes to rub it in people's noses.
Sure, I think that's fair. very vocal. And me and him actually watched the first leg with Ilie a week ago. So that one didn't go quite as well.
Now, was Ilie, I don't see him as the type that would just taunt you, and or was he up in your face like, take that?
No,
he's 3-0.
No, he's a pro, and he doesn't get too high or get too low, I don't think. But he was getting into it that's for sure. And it looked like Barca had it wrapped up. He was feeling pretty good. But what a turnaround! Really didn't expect it coming into today.
It's one of those lessons to all of us. Never give up, man. I mean, you know, just keep going, because I thought that thing was over. I thought, had it been 2-0 before that free kick by Messi last time around, Liverpool could turn that around.
Or when Salah hit his chance off the post right at the end there. Mm-hmm.
3-1.
Yeah,
they could turn that around with an away goal and everything. But when it was 3-0, I just thought, well, that's too bad. You know, Liverpool just and, of course, I think we can't sit here and rehash word for word our text message exchange between me, you, and Matt Lawrence, because Matty's a big Liverpool fan.
He is.
And I don't know if he's being serious or not, but he said he might go to Madrid – for this game. Yeah, is that a true thing, or is that just the euphoria of the moment right now?
I'm wondering, he had some less than happy words last week watching the game in a New York pub, and I think he's maybe gone the opposite end, the big swing, and looking at flights to Madrid in a New York pub right now. So
Maddie is not the stoic. He rides the highs and lows.
Yeah.
He was not happy with Jurgen Klopp after the last game, and you and I were both. I'm a neutral in the situation. As an Arsenal fan, I just want to see good soccer. And I was like, I think he's an all right coach, you know?
Yeah, and it was, it was good soccer today, and a couple of brilliant goals. How about that, the last goal, Brendan? I mean,
just switched off. I can't believe it. Never would have seen that coming.
Yeah.
To switch off, and who was it that took the corner again?
Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah.
Brilliant play from him.
Yeah, he saw it.
What a moment. He goes up to take a short corner, and Barcelona, sees it and doesn't allow him, and then kind of looks like he's walking away. And Barcelona switch off to start waiting for Liverpool players to come into the box, and he just kind of got his eyes up and spotted Origi all by himself and went up and hit it, and then Origi I don't even think he knew that ball was coming in.
What a day for him, too. Not expecting to play until Sunday when two guys went down and came in, had a brace.
Another lesson, be ready. Be ready to go at all times. Yep. Incredible stuff. And now we got Ajax versus Tottenham. Who's everybody got there? Because that one's back at Ajax, and they take a 1-0 lead. But it would it stun anybody at this point if Tottenham turned that around?
No.
They've done it before.
Yeah. I mean, Ajax is in a really good position, and even obviously better than Liverpool was. But I think what we saw today is the Champions League is unbelievable, and anything can happen.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Ajax. I don't know about you guys. How could you not?
You need the underdog.
Yeah. Well, you're an Arsenal fan, so obviously you're rooting for Ajax.
Well, that's a fair point.
But I'm with Brendan as well. The underdog, what a great story. And all these young guys are all going to get sold for $72 billion this summer. hopefully they can make it to the final. That'd be quite the story.
You know, but it goes to show you that it is not all about payroll. It's not all about payroll. It's a lot about payroll. I mean, the bigger teams with the more money win more often. But when you take the field, there's no scoreline decided by which guy's on the biggest wages or on the biggest transfer fee. And, we obviously talk a lot about that when it comes to our Champions League here, CONCACAF. I mean, the big money team, Monterrey, is the one that advanced. And they looked like the big money team. But you look at a team like Ajax, if you can put it all together, teach kids a clear way to play and assemble enough talent young at the right time, things can happen. And that's what makes sports really fun, is that you don't know what's going to happen. We'll see if they can hold on and do it.
And kind of bring it full circle, just hearing from Frank de Boer this weekend, obviously Ajax legend, and he's talking about trying to get an academy set up in Atlanta that would mirror Ajax and would have players that grow up with a lot of courage on the ball. Defenders that aren't necessarily defend first, but learn how to play with the ball and then kind of move back as their career goes. And he actually had some really good words about Sporting Kansas City and what they're doing here. I don't know if you saw those, Brendan, but maybe a little bit of credence to what you guys are doing in the academy setups.
Yeah, absolutely. We get out and watch the academy guys as much as we can. They're really, really smart, and just anything we can take off of them and go out into the market and get with the kids, it's huge.
Yeah, and I was talking to Michelle Ribeiro about that a little bit. And, it's interesting, the Ajax team doesn't have as many academy guys right now starting for them as you would think. They have a lot of young players, but that's because that's another component to it, is not even all your young guys are academy guys. You bring in youth players and develop them in the system as well. And that's the way Ajax is doing it. All right, let's move on. Sporting Kansas City, they suffer a 3-0 loss to Atlanta. And I'll offer this one up to you, Carter. We know the injuries are a big problem. You and I were on the call of the game. We talked a lot about it during the game. It would be, even if you want to say that there are no excuses in the world, it would be living in a fantasy land to say that doesn't have a huge impact on the form that the team is in right now. But I will ask you, did we see some signs of trouble before even all the injuries happened in terms of maybe the way teams are attacking Sporting KC? And do they have some things that they can clean up even outside of the injuries right now?
It would certainly seem so, just based on the number of goals that they've conceded here, even before some of those injuries started to happen. I know Monterrey is obviously such a juggernaut, but I don't think they would have been happy conceding 10 over two legs. And it's just not what you're used to seeing from this Sporting Kansas City side, although I think we talked about this a little bit last week as well. They started off last year not getting clean sheets for a good couple months into the season, and there were some worries about what would happen then. They rounded into form and obviously finished the season so well. So I think there's still some opportunity for that, but that was kind of based off that, you know, Beasler-Opara partnership that was so good, and we just haven't really gotten an opportunity to have Beasler and Fontas or Beasler and whoever develop this partnership in the early stages of the season. And I think that's maybe a big factor here. But also, yeah, just some of the guys not playing as well as they have been over the past years, you'd have to say.
And the reason I bring that question up is because I think it tells a little bit about what Sporting can look to do over the next few weeks, because a lot of these injuries are relatively long-term injuries, guys that aren't going to be back for well over a month, if not months. And I know Peter Vermes isn't the kind of guy that's just going to sit back and say, well, we're just going to suffer losses until all these guys come back. And so I guess the question is, you know, can they clean some things up? Were there some signs before the injuries that they can clean up? And I look at some guys that you're used to seeing better production out of that just seem to be a tick off right now. And maybe some of that is off because the guy that's passing them the ball isn't the guy that has been passing them the ball for a while. But I wonder if some of it's just they just seem almost like they just need a little confidence back. You know, Felipe Gutierrez said to us last week that the confidence is down on the team right now. And you can't play the game if you're not believing in yourself. And I just wonder if there's some things they can put together here before they get all those guys back from injury.
Well, it's not going to get easy, that's for sure. They've got DC United coming up this weekend and then some big home games. Vancouver, you feel like that's a huge one at home following the DC United game. But then, Seattle and LA Galaxy coming to town? I mean, those are some really big games before they have to go on the road for the entire month of June. So while they're trying to figure it out, it's not going to be easy. I think the thing that would worry Peter and the staff, and I'm going to try and talk to them about this, is they make the double substitution in the midfield. And part of that was they didn't really have any attack options. They didn't really have a whole lot of defending options. So it kind of seemed like the subs would always have to come in the midfield. But you lose Roger Espinosa. What a massive loss that is. Ilie's out to start the game. But you still have a couple guys in Kellen Rowe and Johan Kwasi that you bring into the midfield, and I think they just would have liked a little bit more from them against Atlanta this past weekend. And I think that's maybe something that they might take a look at.
Yeah, I think we're all seeing the effects of missing Roger Espinosa right now, and I think that's the situation. Roger's going to be out for a little bit here. There's an opportunity waiting there for somebody to take it by the scruff of the neck, and I think it's fair to say that so far nobody has done that. And so whether Kellen Rowe steps into a little bit better form, starts to maybe understand the system better, whether it's Gideon Zalalem, who's got that pedigree, and we know he's calm and collected on the ball, but hasn't been in the system that long, hasn't been at full fitness for that long. But there's an opportunity there, it seems like, for somebody to step in. Assuming you get Ilie back at 90 minutes fit sooner than later, and Felipe can man that other midfield spot, that's, to me, the glaring spot on the field that could really use, you know, that gumption that Roger Espinosa brings to the table game in and game out.
Very difficult to replace that. And it's stuff that he does that doesn't really show up in the box score. Me and the PR guys were talking about, I wish there was a stat for second balls, because you feel like he'd be right near the top of the league. And he always has such a good reading of that situation. They used to have one, I guess, called German duels.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. I don't know, pretty weird, but they stopped keeping track of it, so it's neither here nor there.
That's kind of a bummer because,
got excited there.
I want to know the origin of the name of the stat, too, by the way.
This is actually a long aside that German duels has been the Opta system for a while, and none of us knew what it meant, and we've searched on the internet for years about what it meant, and finally had some contacts with some Opta guys at MLS, and I asked them, and they had a roundabout answer that kind of made it so that's almost like a second ball stat, but Opta doesn't keep track anymore. So
that's crazy. Of all the stats, because they keep track of so many more stats now than they used to, I'm surprised.
I suppose
that's
it's
not
a
one.
Tough one to to judge.
Well, and there's sometimes where you'll see like the ball get volleyed back and forth five times in a possession, and does that count as winning a second ball, or do you have to maintain possession on the second ball? That would be what I'd want to know.
Yeah.
Is after any sort of exchange like that, who's the guy that actually possesses the ball, either makes the pass that allows the team to possess it or possesses it himself? because that's usually, you know, that's a big moment. And he's got to be, you know, that just, of all the things Roger does, there's just so much out there that Sporting might be looking for right now. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to have our phone conversation with Graham Smith. Then, in the segment after that, we'll talk more with Brennan about the fantasy camp that's coming up for Sporting Kansas City. This is the SKC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And of course, we always welcome the podcast listeners as well on 810WHB.com, on the 810WHB app, and of course, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere else you get your podcast materials. It's time for us to talk with Sporting Kansas City defender Graham Smith. Made the start against Atlanta United over the weekend and is kind enough to join us on the phone on an off day here today. Good evening, Graham. How you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Last time we had you was, I think, last year, right after you had made your MLS debut. So let's catch up a little bit. How things been since a year ago when you got that first start for a Sporting Kansas City?
Well, it has been, it's probably been like 11 months. So the starts are few and far between, but anytime I get the opportunity to get out there, I'm happy for it and just want to make the most of it.
What was your mindset going into this Atlanta game? Obviously, you've been playing with the Rangers, but called into duty against a really tough attack as a defender. What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you go through all the scouting and the technical staff does an unbelievable job with providing us with all that information and just on a more general level. Anytime you get an opportunity to start at the MLS level, it's something that you don't take lightly because you don't know how many of them you're going to get. So you just try and put your best foot forward, and I was thankful for that.
Tell me what your mindset is like. As you mentioned, you know, starts maybe come few and far between. There's a lot of veteran and high-priced players playing at your position in this organization from last year to this year. How do you approach just the day in, day out, whether it's with Rangers, whether it's the days you get to train with Sporting Kansas City? Tell me about the mindset you approach to your job right now in that regard.
Yeah, you just try and build good habits. So you try and do you look up to those guys who you mentioned who have the experience and have gotten to the places they've gotten in their career, and you try and pick up on things that they've been doing, and you try and incorporate that into your daily routine. So what I've been doing is just trying to work that in, and over time that gives you confidence, and you try and bring that confidence into the opportunities you get.
Well, maybe since we haven't caught up with you in a while, do you feel like a Kansas City local now that you've been here a little more than a year? How you adapting to KC?
I'm always going to be a Colorado guy, but I'm definitely coming around to Kansas City. I've been living in the Crossroads for the past year and a half, and I love it down here. It's an awesome spot, and I'm coming around to it. The weather is actually very similar to that of Colorado, so I like that.
Okay.
What's the best thing about living in the Crossroads?
Just all the coffee shop, all the coffee shops, all the stuff that's going on. First Fridays is always fun. You know, you're downtown, but it's still relatively laid back. Like, it's kind of crazy how easily I can find parking on the street right outside my apartment. So that's lovely.
So I remember when we talked to you last year that before your first start, it was Brad Evans, I think, who took you out to dinner the night before the game, a veteran center back himself. And I know from talking to him that he was a big-time coffee snob. Or is, you just mentioned coffee shops being your favorite part about living in the Crossroads. Are you a coffee snob as well?
No, I'm not. I'm not a coffee snob to the level of the legend Brad Evans. He has very high standards when it comes to that. I'm more of a, you know, I'll go to a coffee shop or I'll just cook something up in the Keurig. I don't really care.
So you'll go Keurig. Okay, I think that's a massive no-no according to the real coffee snobs. What's your order if you go to a coffee shop? Are you just a straight-up coffee guy, or you get one of the fancy things?
I'll say like today I got a latte, but that's about as fancy as I'll get. I'll normally just go black coffee with a little Splenda.
So, in terms of being from Colorado, did you get a chance during the off season to head back home? Have you been back to Colorado much since joining Sporting Kansas City a year ago?
Yeah, and this past off season, I was able to go back to Colorado, and I went to school at the University of Denver, and they have a really good setup over there for off season. A lot of MLS guys, USL guys from the area, and just people coming in, train with the athletic staff there at DU. So it's a really good group there, and got a lot done.
What's it been like, Graham, playing under Paolo Nakamura at times? Obviously, he's kind of getting started in his coaching career. What's it been like playing for him?
Paolo's awesome. He gives you a lot of confidence, and when you're coming up, like in the situation I am, you want to have a coach who has I'm lucky to have a coach like that who has the experience that he has, not just in MLS, but in soccer as a game in general. And anything that he has to offer you, it's advice and it's information that's going to make you a better player and advance your career.
He seems so soft-spoken. Is he soft-spoken as a head coach, or is there that angry, loud Paolo that maybe the rest of us just don't see?
He's a passionate guy. He's calculated. It's almost calculated passion. In some instances, I'm sure. Carter, were you calling the game last night, this whole game?
I was, yeah. He was.
Oftentimes there'll be camera times where it'll cut from on the sideline, and you can see that passion, and that comes out daily. But no, it's not 24/7 like that.
I like this. First of all, do you ever go back and watch the archive games when you play for Swope Park Rangers? And if so, I would like a full critique of Carter Augustine's play-by-play, please.
Well, last night I had the game on mute, but I heard and saw tweets that you had the call of the century.
Oh, I don't know about that.
What was it, the Akhmatov crosshair?
Yeah, that was actually the color. Sam Kovzin stepping up, and Rosenbeck.
Wow.
Rosenbeck gets the second. He called it an Akhmatov cocktail, which is, I'm with you. I think that's just absolutely brilliant.
That's good stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we did get some field mics of Paolo. You're right on. He's right next to it, so sometimes it can pick up some of that fire and passion.
You need the 5-second delay on him.
Yeah, I've got to dump it on Paolo at times.
Well, and the thing about calling the Swope games, I get to call a couple filling in for Carter, is that, you know, there aren't as many people in the stands. So literally everything that each coach says, and usually the players that are close to the touchline, you're getting all of it. Like, you don't have to do any other.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great experience. Graham, you've been wearing the captain's armband quite a bit this season. What's that been like, kind of taking a leadership role for the Swope Park Rangers?
Yeah, I mean, I got it towards the last half of the season with Swope last year as well, and it's an honor. Anytime you're the captain of an organization, you get to wear that armband. It's a responsibility that I don't take lightly. But yeah, it's just an honor.
What one of the young players that are starting to maybe get some playing time at the Rangers? Who's impressed you since you've been playing with the, it seems to be a lot more academy products and young players this year.
Yeah, the team is much younger this year, and it's a lot of talent. Despite the results that Swope's been getting early in the year, it's not for a lack of willingness to play. There's been a lot of quality that's been shown, and it's tough to single out specific guys, but I think you see flashes of brilliance from a guy like Alex, who's playing left back, who's a very young guy. The academy kids who are stepping up, like Mo. John made a great debut last night. So I think it just shows that the future in the organization is bright, and that the sporting organization is doing it correctly with the pathway to the pros being the USL and giving these kids opportunities.
Well, you know, and I think that brings up an interesting point, Graham, when you talk about the record at Swope Park Rangers, just one win so far this season, but look, there are different objectives from different USL teams. There are some teams out there that are not affiliated with a club that are going to employ guys in their 30s. I got a chance to call the Indy 11 game, and there were all kinds of guys that were in their late 20s, early 30s, longtime professionals out there. And this isn't to say that you guys aren't trying to win games. Obviously, you take the field in a game, you want to win, but you're trying to win playing the specific style that the team is going to play on the first team level. You're trying to develop young players. So I think the midfield in that game that I called had two 20-year-olds and a 22-year-old in the midfield. You got young guys you're playing on the back line with. I'm curious what the challenge is like when you're doing that against maybe a team that is filled with seasoned veterans that are maybe in a different area than you are.
Right. Well, you're right. Anytime you step on the field, you want to win. That's the objective. You wouldn't be a professional if you went that way, and you wouldn't be a competitor if you went that way. It's just kind of how you're wired. But with that being said, there are secondary objectives with a team like Slope, where if you look at me, for example, if it wasn't for Slope, I would just be training, or maybe I'd get loaned out somewhere, but I wouldn't be in the organization, and I wouldn't get the opportunity to get actual game minutes, which is really how you progress as a player and a footballer. So in that regard, you're trying to win, but you're trying to get those game minutes and get that experience so you can evolve into a first team player.
What are some of the things as you in your evolution as specific to the way Sporting KC want to play, their model of play? What are some of the areas maybe you've focused your most attention on in terms of either adding to your game or improving?
It's just an understanding of what is required from the center back in the Sporting model of play. The center back, as you'll see, like, Diesler's on the ball. Generally, any game that he plays, he's on the ball the most out of any player on the field. So there's a lot of decisions that he needs to make and that the center backs need to make that are not predetermined, but they're thought of beforehand. So that's been the biggest thing I've been focusing on. It's maybe two or three passes before the ball comes to me. What are the numbers? Where do I need to go? Where's the general area that we should be attacking? And just analyzing the game that way.
So it's been a tough couple of results now for Sporting Kansas City. What's the mood like in the camp? I know you guys have had a couple days off here after the Atlanta game.
Yeah, well, Diesler had a unbelievable captain he is. He had a little team gathering at his place yesterday. Had all the families over for the married guys and the guys with significant others in town, and the team got over there. So it was nice to kind of get away from the field, but still be with the guys and spend some time there. But the overall sentiment is just, you know, like Peter always says, the only way we're going to get out of this is keep working and keep working to fix it and dealing with the whatever adversity comes, whether it's a string of poor results or injury bug or whatever. But you're not going to get out of that by dwelling on things like that. It's just it's putting in the work and working your way out of it.
Well, and one of the challenges we talk about, too, is the chemistry of partnerships. There's been kind of a different partnership almost every game at the center back position so far for SKC because of a lot of reasons and injury being at the top of the list. So there you are with Botan Barat. Not only are you making your first appearance of the year for Sporting KC, but you're two guys that have never played in an official game together before. How did you feel things went with you and Botan together, and how much of a challenge is that going out there with a guy you've never really partnered up with before?
Yeah, well, that's Botan and I actually for almost all preseason we were partnered together. So I had a bit of experience playing next to him, and for the most part, it felt comfortable. We've trained together as well, so it wasn't entirely something I was unfamiliar with. But he was great with the communication. I felt that we were organized for the most part, and it was a joy.
Well, it doesn't get any easier, of course, this weekend, DC United. Have you got a chance to look at them, and what are you thinking ahead of the trip out to the new stadium and going up against Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, we'll just get back to work, and the scout was just sent over, so we'll take a look at that and attack it just like any game. It's the most important game because it's the next one, so excited to get to work on it.
Well, hey, Graham, we really appreciate the time. Congratulations on when you're captaining with Swope Park Rangers and when you're playing with Sporting Kansas City. We certainly enjoy the time, and enjoy those lattes, okay, man?
I will do. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Graham.
That's Graham Smith. He started center back for Sporting KC. Might be in there again on Sunday when Sporting take on DC United. Back with more of the Sporting KC show right after this.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
The Sporting Kansas City show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And we've mentioned that we've got Brennan Williams in here with us, youth soccer operations for Sporting Kansas City, and Carter Augustine, of course, as always. And this is something that we're going to talk about now that I remember you brought up to me, Brennan, last winter. Like,
yep.
not this winter a few months ago, but maybe two winters ago, we were playing some indoor soccer together, and you told me that the organization was kicking around the idea of a fantasy camp. And I've been lucky enough to participate in a couple of other ones. I participated in a Chiefs fantasy camp one time and the Bill Self basketball fantasy camp once. And so you're asking me for some things, you know, that make those camps special. And then you came up to me a few weeks ago and said, we're doing it. We're putting it together. Tell us about the Sporting Fantasy Experience with Peter Vermees.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was, like you mentioned, we've been talking about it for a while now in the organization, just kicking around some ideas. And we actually brought it to PV, the man himself, and he just kind of took it and ran with it. He's super excited, and the entire schedule that we have laid out, he's had a hand in it. And he kind of, you know, pulled rank on a couple people in the organization and said, hey, you're going to be involved in this because he's so excited. And, you know, so am I to even get to be involved with it at all.
Okay, so let's talk about it. Peter Vermees puts this together. What types of things, if you're a person that's interested in doing this, what will the weekend look like?
Yeah, so let's kind of run through it a little bit. We're going to start at Pinnacle National Development Center, where we'll have, you know, lunch and a Q&A with our technical director, Brian Bliss.
Okay, what day is this?
This is July 20th for the FC Dallas game.
Okay, so that's a Saturday?
It is a Saturday, correct.
Okay, so you're out there on a Saturday, and you're going to have lunch, and Brian Bliss comes in?
Brian Bliss comes in, ask him anything you want. You know, he's seen everything there is to see in soccer, played in the World Cup. Coached a couple MLS teams, so he always has interesting stories. And then after that, the participants are going to go out to the field at Pinnacle, and he's going to actually run them through a training session. Not expecting any, you know, super in shape people to show up to this, so he's not going to be too crazy. But
so you don't have to be 90 minutes match fit to get through this training session.
You're going to get some workout warriors like Nate coming in here thinking they're in an open tryout situation.
Oh, believe me, I am trying to pull strings to get myself involved in this camp any way possible already, Carter. Don't worry about that.
Well, listen, so we already thought about the people that aren't going to be in shape because right after the training session, we actually got some doctors from Children's Mercy to go to the regen part of Pinnacle, which, you know, really nobody gets to go go see.
And, top secret.
Yep. Get to go in there and play with all the fancy equipment they have in there and make sure you can, you know, stand up for the game later. And then after that, you know, we'll get you all cleaned up. And then
let me pause you real quick on this because we've talked about this. This Pinnacle facility, the players tell us all the time, the regeneration equipment and all the things they have there is like the best in the entire world. You're telling me that the fans get to go use some of that equipment with the help of doctors and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. All the stuff, it's open game.
That's wow. Pretty cool, actually, because like you said, it's kind of top secret. Trying to keep some of that stuff proprietary, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe
right.
Not letting some of the secret sauce out.
Yeah. And I mean, we're talking stuff that'll make you feel pretty pretty nice and refreshed by the time the game rolls around.
Yeah, so we need to get
awesome.
In there after our Friday night leagues.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't get out of bed on Monday on Saturday mornings. By the way, so I could definitely use the cryo chamber and all that stuff. I've never been in a cryo chamber, by the way, so I don't really even know. But okay, so you go through all that. You got trained professionals from Children's Mercy, the doctors there. You go through regen, then what happens after that?
So after that, you get to go to the player lounge and have a nice Q&A with PV himself before the game, which is he never does on game days. So a really good opportunity to kind of get some insights on what you're going to see that night against FC Dallas.
Wow.
And then after that, we have some time for a nice happy hour in the player lounge. You get to play with all the, you know, the ping pong tables, all the toys the players are messing around with all the time. If you follow any of them on Instagram, I'm sure you've seen it.
They got video games in there.
All the, yeah, I think everybody wants to play Fortnite, right? That's what the people are playing these days.
Yep.
So after the happy hour, we're going to head over to CMP, and all the participants are going to have credentialed field-level access for pregame warm-ups. There's a special little part there that I'm not allowed to talk about yet, but keep an eye on social media because we're going to be announcing it soon. And then you're just going to get to sit back and enjoy the game from a premium area. So that's going to be a really good game. It's always a good game against FC Dallas. I remember last year when Quaze hit that stunner against FC Dallas to beat him in the Open Cup. So it's always a good battle. And that ends it for the first day. But this is a day and a half event. So the next morning, you'll come on back to CMP, and now it's your turn to go out on the field and play a game. So we'll give you a tour. We'll show you all the fun stuff that CMP has to offer. You'll get to see the player locker room. You get to see, you know their bus. You get to see my personal favorite, the soccer tennis room,
nice.
The hidden gem of CMP. and then you're going to get your own 2019 kit, get out in the field, go through warm-ups. You're actually going to be coached by our assistants, Carrie and Z, which I'm sure you guys have seen it. These are the most competitive people ever. Yeah. And when they coach against each other, they want to win. So they're going to be going against each other in this scrimmage here. And there's also going to be some sporting players, you know, out and about, you know, giving you some pointers. And to get to play on this field, this brand new field that we just spent so much money on in the offseason is a really special treat. So we'll have a full scrimmage on the field at CMP, and then we'll reward all that hard work with some beers afterwards.
Wow. Wow. So you're playing basically a game on the field at Children's Mercy Park.
Correct.
And you're getting coached by Zoran Savic and Kerry Zavagnin on the it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, not bad. That's not bad.
That's a pretty good experience. That's basically a day and a half of doing stuff that nobody else is going to get to do.
Absolutely.
As it comes to Sporting Kansas City, you get access to Peter Vermees on the day of a game to get inside information. You get to do a training session run by the professionals. You get to see, I mean, you're going to get to do things that other MLS players don't get to do when it comes to checking out all the recovery equipment and all
Absolutely.
That stuff and being a part of it. Most guys in the league don't get access to that stuff, and you're going to get to after a training session, and you get to go to the game. It's going to be incredible. So how do people, if they want to get more information about it, where do they go to find out?
So you just go to sportingkc.com/fantasy experience. It has the full schedule in case you want to go back and listen to my rant. and then you can go ahead and register online there as well.
So I'm seeing a picture here. Like, you get your kit. Like, you go in on game day, and you got your own locker.
Yep.
You got your own, I mean, your name and number on the back of the jersey. You got, so I'm guessing Kitman's going to be doing a little extra work on all this stuff too, which
yep.
I always like to see. I'm in favor of it from that point right there. Man, you walk away with all sorts of unbelievable memories as well. So sportingkc.com, and in fact, even if you don't remember the fantasy part, if you just go to sportingkc.com, you can see a link to it right on the front page that says Sporting Fantasy Experience. So I'll say this, folks, if you're somebody that's listening to this, you got a dad out there, Father's Day present, something like that that's coming up around the corner. Mother's Day present. I mean, and by the way, men and women.
Absolutely. Men and women, 21 and over.
21 and over. Men and women are up for this. So Carter can attest, I'm one of those old guys that still wishes I could, like, pretend I was a real soccer player all the time. And these types of things, I get completely giddy over. It sounds like a ton of fun. So, again, sportingkc.com. And check out the Fantasy Experience tab if you're interested in that, a gift for a family member or for yourself. Go ahead and do it. And then also, camp season's coming up, isn't it? I mean, for the kids.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's right around the corner. Yeah, we're going to be all over the region this summer. camps from anybody between the ages of 5 and 19. We have residential camps if you want to get rid of the kids for a few days, drop them off, and let us, you know, run them into the ground, come back all tired.
Nice.
And then we also just have, you know, the normal day camps that's, you know, all over in Overland Park, Olathe, and then even out, we're going to Evansville. We're going to all of our affiliate markets, Wichita, Omaha. So wherever you are, wherever you're listening, you know, we're probably right around the corner.
And for the kids that play the club ball, the tryouts are coming up for most teams in June, so this is a good time to get brushed up right before the tryouts all start.
Absolutely, that's what a lot of people come for. They want to get, you know, a few touches in before tryouts roll around.
Residential camps, man, those are fun. Obviously, Brennan was a pretty decent player in his day. Did you go to residential camps growing up?
Oh, yeah, I went to all of them. My parents probably loved it. Drop me off and don't worry about me for a few days.
I've seen Brennan play. I mean, he's a really good player. He's a good addition on our Over 30 League when he shows up, you know, and doesn't bail on us, you know, on the night
of the game. Playing with Nate Picadi?
It's the highest honor of my soccer career.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Isn't
by
it?
Far.
Yeah. In what way would you playing with a guy that's like way worse than you, so you get to look good, and like in that way?
Well,
is
I get
it good?
To play right next to Nate, and he gives me the ball a lot, so it's actually a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah. One thing I will say is I know that I'm not any good, so if there's a good guy playing next to me, I try to pass him the ball all the time.
That's I think a strong strong way to play. And you know, Brennan and I haven't gotten that invite to the Friday Night League. It's
you want to play?
It's a league he takes pretty seriously. So actually, Brennan was like, "Hey, you should come out and play with us on Fridays." So I was like, "You know what, Nate wants to win, so he hasn't called me out to those ones just yet."
Carter's got a little game.
I've seen it.
I will say this: a couple years ago, I would have questioned your commitment
and fitness
level.
Yeah.
Might have seen Carter throw up on the side of a indoor game one time. So
it did happen.
It was an indoor game.
Got outlasted by a couple 50-year-olds.
Oh my god!
So,
but like I've seen you play recently, and I think you're in better form
better
these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey man, a standing invitation. If you want in, you're in.
See, I've angled this whole interview to finally get that invite.
Will you actually show for us this time? I mean, unlike you know,
miss one game, unreal.
Look, I'm only mad because we lost that game, and I'm convinced if we had Brennan, we would have had a chance. That's why I'm so upset right now.
I'm kind of worried actually now about coming because
maybe don't come.
Yeah, no,
that time where with the throw up incident, Nate tried to get a ball into my feet, and I didn't check back to it, and the defender kind of stepped in front of me, and I got a huge earful, and I was like, "Dude, my legs are jelly. I got nothing."
I definitely yell at my teammates too much. I'll admit that, and maybe not
it's
just
motivational.
My teammates. Yeah.
No, you're right in that instance. That's for sure.
It's all part of the thing. All right, guys. Before we wrap things up, Sporting KC on the road. I tell you what, one of the cool looking stadiums in the league, DC United. I do kind of miss old RFK and dodging the weird pools of unidentifiable liquid that we're gathering in the hallways.
the raccoons, the falcons.
Hitting your head on that one big I-beam that was placed right at forehead level in the press box.
Yep.
But the new place looks awesome. And DC United, it's been weird. They're having a good season. They've had a couple of interesting results here of late. But what do you make of this this matchup against DC United, Carter?
I'm bummed we're not going, man. I want to check out the new stadium.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of revisionist history about RFK that I'll just get that out there. I mean, it was obviously a huge venue for American soccer, but there's this big lovey haze over it now by a bunch of people, and I just don't share it. I guess I didn't grow up over there on that side of the country, so.
Oh, sometimes it's the nostalgia.
There's a lot of nostalgia. I mean, DC United used to have like the best support in the league back in the early days,
and Bravo
is rocking.
Yeah, they have good support now.
Yeah, and they do now at the stadium. So I'm bummed to not be able to go to that. National TV takes all the good ones from us. But
we'll be calling it on radio from right here, by the
definitely.
Way, in case people wonder. There will be a radio call right here on Sports Radio 810 WHBN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio as well.
Yeah, so that'll be good to see at least Wayne Rooney and the rest of those guys. I mean, I think they just have a really good team that they've built over these years. Obviously, Rooney and Acosta have such a good relationship. We're seeing some rumors to Yamil Assad. I don't know if that's going to – today's the deadline. I don't know if that's going to go through.
Clock's ticking.
It might be over by the time the show airs. But it's going to be a challenge, and I think the biggest question is who's going to play for Sporting, really.
Yeah, we're still waiting to see who's able to work their way back from injury. this week. I'm just hoping for a full 18 this time around. I will say Luciano Acosta is a mercurial player, and he seems to be on that kind of cold side right now. He's wanted out a couple of times. And
he thought he was going out on the European transfer deadline.
Right. And he was off to a great start, that partnership with Rooney. But the last couple games, that you're starting to hear some reports of some bad body language. And he's a guy, to me, when his body language is bad, you notice it. You see it on the field. So let's root for bad body language, Acosta, on Sunday.
Well, that's, I think, just tying it back to what we were talking about in the first segment about someone filling in for the shoes of Roger Espinosa. I think that's a player that he might have his attention on in the early 5 minutes, let him know that he's there. So who's going to do that? Felipe Gutierrez, perhaps. We've heard that El Mete Pata, Felipe does.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's maybe something to keep an eye out. Maybe put a foot on Acosta and let him know it's going to be a long night. Because if he does get in his flow, it's a really dangerous player on his day for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll wrap things up on that note. Again, I'll remind you, the game for Sporting KC coming up at DC United on Sunday, 6 o'clock Central Time. You can hear it on Sports Radio 810 WHB and, of course, on Sirius XM Satellite Radio as well. So for Brennan Williams and for Carter Augustine, this is Nate Bucati saying thanks for listening to another edition of the Sporting KC Show.